The latest from Baltimore now. Police officials say that they have finished their investigation into the controversial death of Freddie Gray. Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis did not announce the results of the inquiry. He did, though, reveal one new piece of information. He said that the police van made an extra stop as it was transporting Gray.
The second stop has been revealed to us during the course of our investigation and was previously unknown to us. We discovered this new stop based on our thorough and comprehensive and ongoing review of all CCTV cameras and privately owned cameras. And in fact, this new stop was discovered from a privately owned camera.
The state's attorney will now decide how to proceed. Today on the streets of Baltimore, riot police are still on patrol. Even so, after 2 days of calm, many people are now thinking about the next steps. One of those people is economist Anaban Basu. He is CEO of Sage Policy Group. He served on the Baltimore School Board and raised his family in Baltimore. We asked him to describe how Baltimore has been developing economically.
Well, historically, there have been a couple of mega trends, one very negative and one very positive. On the positive side, there's a lot of growth in medical research, cybersecurity, financial services. Baltimore is headquarters to Under Armour, T. Rowe Price, and other rapidly growing companies. Many of the people who work for those companies live in Baltimore suburbs, but many also live in some of the most delightful urban communities on the East Coast. That's the one Baltimore, and it's a vibrant Baltimore. It's a Baltimore people love. There's another Baltimore, a second Baltimore, which is poorer, which is more challenged. There's no question. But you'll notice that in the riots on Monday night, that many of the structures that were burned or looted were new. Mondawmin Mall has been refurbished just in the last few years. That CVS is new. And that senior center was under construction.
So what does this tell you?
That even in the other Baltimore, there's progress. It's a grinding progress. It's a slow level of progress. But there's this notion out there that parts of Baltimore, at least parts of Baltimore, are completely devoid of opportunity. That's just not true. It's absolutely true that the kids who grew up in Baltimore City, for the most part, have less opportunity than in Baltimore's affluent suburbs. That's absolutely true. But this notion that there is no opportunity, that's hyperbole.
And I'm guessing that that opportunity and the growth of those areas did not come easily. I mean, that kind of development happens according to some kind of a larger plan where neighborhoods want it, where the economics are right. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. That these are all the outgrowths of public-private partnerships. It's often nonprofit organizations who are also at the cutting edge of leading these projects forward, of attracting a CVS, of attracting or developing a senior center, of refurbishing Mondawmin Mall. The incomes in these communities that we're talking about are quite low. And so the private sector in and of its own self is not necessarily going to put a lot of investment into these communities. And that's why there is only grinding progress. But it is progress. It is new construction. And that construction is associated with job creation. And there are jobs at that CVS, or were, and at Mondawmin Mall.
And of course, then the painful irony is that there is this looting and the arson that seems to have sabotaged that very element of growth. How severe is the damage?
It's severe. I mean, I think it's certainly psychologically severe. The looters managed to target many of the indicators of progress. The CVS store was an indicator of progress. The refurbished Mondawmin Mall, which, by the way, a very attractive mall, and a lot of inner city communities around the country do not have a mall that is that nice, that is filled with so many stores. They attacked the indicators of progress. It's a real irony. I mean, it's economic cannibalism.
And can you explain it as a Baltimore resident?
You know, I'm an economist. One of the fundamental underpinnings of economics is rational behavior. We expect people to behave in accordance with their own economic interests. There is nothing that one can explain that happened Monday night using models of rational behavior. It's completely irrational. Looting Mondawmin Mall and taking out shirts or other forms of merchandise doesn't seem to pay much homage to the memories of Freddie Gray or to the efforts that many community leaders have made to bring more social justice to West and East Baltimore. These were crimes of opportunity. And these were people in the community preying on other people in their very own community. And their community has been permanently damaged. But the reputational impacts of this affect both Baltimores, both the upscale, urbanized, gentrified Baltimore, and also the more challenged Baltimore.
What kind of effects on both?
We've already seen a cancellation of a couple of major conventions. One of the growth industries in Baltimore is tourism. You know, our city does not have a great reputation to begin with. And with shows like Homicide, Life on the Streets, and The Wire, one can understand why. But our city in places is breathtakingly beautiful. It's gorgeous. And one of our favorite pastimes is to bring people into our city and surprise them with the graciousness and the glamour of Baltimore, particularly downtown. It's Oriole Park at Camden Yards. It's the Ritz-Carlton Residences. It's the new Four Seasons Hotel. It's the Under Armour campus. And that Baltimore has been hurt because now this perception is, you know, Baltimore's not safe. And for us to need the National Guard to maintain order, and of course the National Guard is most welcome in Baltimore. We thank them for their presence, I think all of us. But the fact that we need them there to maintain civil society, it's an embarrassment.
What kind of afterlife does this damage have? In other words, is there, you said that that already it's taking its toll economically and that conferences have been canceled. What do potential investors look for in a place like Baltimore now? I mean, can the city eke out some kind of opportunity from this?
Yeah, I hope so. There's a rebuilding process. Insurance monies will come in to varying degrees. But I'll tell you, it makes it hard for everybody. Students right now around the country are trying to make decisions about where they're going to attend college. How many students that would have otherwise attended Johns Hopkins University will decide not to attend Johns Hopkins? Maybe it'll be Georgetown. Maybe it'll be Northwestern or the University of Chicago. But all of a sudden, their parents don't feel that Baltimore is safe enough. How hard will it be for Under Armour, T. Rowe Price, Legg Mason, and other companies to recruit people, talented people from other communities to come into Baltimore? It probably becomes that much harder. How much more difficult does it become for convention planners to be persuaded to bring their conventions to Baltimore and help us fill our hotel rooms, which pay hotel taxes to the city, which feeds into the provision of public services? All of these things add up.
So what is the best argument that Baltimore could put forward right now to erase the perception that Baltimore is a land of no opportunity and instead enhance the idea, as you say, or the fact, as you say, that Baltimore is indeed rich in opportunity and that developers, for instance, should up their investment in the city? I mean, what's the message that has to go out?
Well, you know, developers have been upping their investment in the city.
But you're worried about what's going to happen now.
Yes. Well, in the more affluent parts, they have been. And, you know, I still believe that there's going to be a lot of young people who are going to continue to move to Canton, Locust Point, Otterbein, and other fabulous urban neighborhoods.
Right. But they're already fabulous.
They're already fabulous.
They already have money, and those aren't the areas that need more investment.
That's one of the great ironies of economics, right, which is that investment tends to be greatest in those places where it's least needed.
So what can the city do now?
There has to be statements by city leaders that, look, you know, we are changing today. We are going to create a culture of high expectations for everybody, including our children. You know, one of the things that's been so frustrating is to hear leadership in Baltimore set low expectations for our kids. You know, on the one hand, they decry in many cases the violence. They say it's not acceptable. But look, these kids are poor. And that's almost like a partial excuse. There should be no excuse for this. It's absolutely true that our kids don't have the level of opportunity that's enjoyed in Baltimore County or Howard County, where there is an abundance of families that have millions of dollars of net worth. But that should actually induce our young people to work harder, to prove to the world that, yes, they might be of minorities. They might be poor, but that as individuals, they have the ability to achieve. There's some great stories that come from Baltimore City Public Schools. You know, kids going to Harvard and other top schools, it can be done. There is a land of opportunity there, believe it or not, despite what you hear.
Do you think that the people of Baltimore feel that way right now, residents of Baltimore? I mean, you are one of them. Do they still believe in their city, or has violence tinged their own image of themselves?
oh, no, we still believe in our city, but our view of ourselves has deteriorated. I mean, you might remember on Saturday there was some violence in the city. And, you know, many of us were quick to suggest that this was done by outside agitators. We did not want to believe that we ourselves could cause damage to our community. On Monday night, we could no longer make that claim. That was us. That was us. And so our view of ourselves has been diminished. That's my view. I'm despondent. But we will be reborn. Tuesday was a much better day in the city. You saw people coming out trying to protect the police. You saw people trying to protect the physical infrastructure of the city. That's the real Baltimore. We're better than what we were Monday night. We're much better.
Anuban Basu is an economist in Baltimore and CEO of the consulting firm Sage Policy Group. He lives in Baltimore and has raised his family there as well. Very nice to talk to you.
Privilege was all mine.